Ross Dwelly back with the San Francisco 49ers, but they do lose. Jordan Willis leaves for the Las Vegas Raiders. And what about this 49ers offense? How is it shaping up? Are the 49ers ready to dominate? Coming up on today's Locked On 49ers.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you as always. Thanks everybody for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your football franchise, then this is definitely the game for you. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the app stores. Our listeners get a free 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo code Locked On in the game. And of course, it is a Winky Wednesday, which means it's time to bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Wink, what's happening, my man? Last we checked in, the 49ers made a mega deal with Javon Hargrave, something that was a little bit surprising. Some minor moves since then, including today, Ross Dwelly. Ross Dwelly back with the 49ers offense. Is the offense now primed to dominate?
Man, you got to shore up that, that tight end depth. It's so important. You know, he's a key.
I like Ross Dwelly. I think he's a good depth piece. And the 49ers pretty much have that same group that they've had for a while now. Warner and Ross Dwelly backing up George Kittle. I don't think it changes anything from their draft. They've clearly didn't love that group last year, bringing in multiple free agent guys, Tyler Croft and Troy Fumagalli, and they've kind of been trying to find.
I had to duck when you mentioned Tyler Croft. I didn't know if a fan threw something at us through the screen there. I had to duck.
He'll forever be. He's a good player too, and I thought he. I mean, he was the tight end too. He was the second best tight end on the 49ers last year. He did whiff on the block that it now famously got Brock Purdy hurt in the NFC Championship game. There was one listener, by the way, guys, that said today, he's like, today was the first time I could listen to a podcast now since the Eagles game. And I've gotten a few of those, man. And it was like, that's tough. Those playoff games are important. And we talked about it. Remember before the playoffs, we ranked how 49ers most hated rivals. Mm-hmm. And some teams you don't hate as much, even though you're rivals, because you beat them. And when it really becomes a rivalry is when you lose to that team in the playoffs. Philadelphia Eagles were not listed among our rivals when we did that podcast. They have definitely shot up into the top 10 and probably the top five teams now for a lot of folks, especially younger fans that maybe didn't experience 90s Cowboys or even some of the, some of the Seahawks games a decade ago.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fans banter back and forth. Probably stems a lot from the whole Rocky thing and then just how the 49ers lost with Brock Purdy getting hurt at the beginning of that game and then kind of feeling helpless. But then the trash talking from the Eagles fans as if, oh, we just pummeled the 49ers. Well, ultimately, I mean, I guess the final score indicates that they did. But I think a lot of it, that hatred is going to continue to grow. 49ers are going to continue to go to the Rocky statue. They're going to hate the Eagles. And every time they play the Eagles, I think it's going to be a big deal from here on out. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. That's what it feels like. I mean, you said it, Croc. It's the way the loss happened, right? It just was so heartbreaking. You just feel deflated. And it was so early in the game and you were so pumped up. And it's just like, oh, your heart just broken. You know, you're just in pieces having to watch the rest of the game. And then like little flashes of, oh, McCaffrey scores. Okay, here we go. Oh, no. And then it's just back down. And the trash talk, it was brutal. But then, for the 49ers to come out in free agency and sign Hargrave like that was just like, oh, what's up, Eagles? Like, coming right back at you, taking your guy.
Is that the Deion Sanders kind of signing, yes, Dallas Cowboys, yes, where is Hargrave the modern Deion? In the sense of, Deion went, he signed with the Niners, they won a Super Bowl, he left the Niners, went to the Cowboys, which obviously was a huge rivalry at the time, it still is. And boom, the Cowboys have enough now to beat the 49ers again, and they go off and win the Super Bowl. Hopefully Hargraves is the 49ers version of Deion Sanders.
He's an impactful player, and the Eagles have gotten worse. They lost C.J. Gardner-Johnson yesterday, and the 49ers have, I think, gotten better. I want to talk about the offensive side of the ball here more. Ross Dwelly coming back. He's not the reason the 49ers could potentially dominate on the offensive side of the ball. They need to, quarterback still has to go right for them. They have multiple swings at getting quarterback right this season in obviously Trey Lance, Sam Darnold, and Brock Purdy. And we'll see when Brock Purdy's actually back and cleared and ready to play, and when he actually gets an opportunity to play, or if he does get an opportunity to play, if the other guys maybe run with that job over the course of the offseason. More on Brandon Ayuk as well, who's fired up right now for some 49ers football as we're in the offseason. But one more note here on the latest in free agency. So the 49ers kind of did a little swap of reserve defensive linemen, and they signed Cleveland Farrell last week of the Las Vegas Raiders. And now the 49ers lose a defensive lineman to the Las Vegas Raiders. Jordan Willis is going to sign a deal in Las Vegas now. So what do you think about that swap, Wink? A Cleveland Farrell for Jordan Willis swap for the 49ers and Raiders.
It hurts. It does, because, you know, Willis, you think of the punt block, right? Like that, it will forever be his moment. And 49er fans will always remember him and always love him for that. So seeing him go to the silver and black, that's a little bit tough, you know, but you know, wish him the best, obviously. And Farrell's a good guy, so good player.
I've harped a lot on specific roles and 49ers putting guys in position to be successful at, you know, with what they're asked to do. And part of that is getting a punt block by Willis, because you're not this, I think coming out of Kansas State, he was like a third round pick or something like that. But whatever it was, hey, this is your specific role now. Contribute on special teams, and every once in a while, we need you to rush the passer. And he did that well for the 49ers. So I think losing any of those guys, whether it was Willis, Ebukam, Aminahu, is like, man, they had these very specific roles, and losing those three guys, you have to try to find a replacement. I think that's where Farrell comes into play.
I think that swap is a win for the 49ers. Jordan Willis, his value's been on special teams. He's never made a big impact on defense. Doesn't play a big snap load. Whereas Cleveland Farrell is, you know, just shy of 26 years old. He's younger. I think he can make a bigger impact on the defensive side of the ball, as long as the 49ers get that hole plugged on their special teams unit that Jordan Willis filled out. I think they'll be fine. Jordan Willis, a couple of years older, just shy of 28 years old going into this year. So I like it for the 49ers. I like where they're at. They still need to address some things on the edge. They still need to address a tight end situation. I think the 49ers are definitely going to find in the draft to compete with those guys that they're bringing back, that same, you know, three-headed monster at tight end. There's going to be another player or two in that room as well competing, but pretty well done are the 49ers. And I think we can take a look now at where the 49ers are. And we've got a mailbag question here about those San Francisco 49ers, and a statement as well on social media via Brandon Ayuk. And I'm going to need Croc to translate that statement and what it actually means and what he's trying to say and what we can expect from Brandon Ayuk, Ross Dwelly, whoever's at quarterback, and Kyle Shanahan's offense. Is this the year that 49ers offense really starts to dominate? We're talking Kyle Shanahan. Everyone gushes about Kyle Shanahan, how good he is as a play designer, offensive coach, offensive coordinator. They've got so much talent on this football team. They've got his handpicked quarterbacks. Are we going to see it? We haven't seen that. This still has never hit even anywhere near what that 2016 Atlanta Falcons offense has been for the 49ers. Is this the year? Next. Today's episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by FanDuel, America's number one sports book. It's tourney time, and the tournament heating up is now the perfect time to download FanDuel, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scorers to three-pointers drained. The World Baseball Classic's finishing up on Tuesday night here, just as we get ready to record this podcast. Pump for that one. I actually just realized that I got my Japanese baseball shirt on. You know, I'm Team USA, but I just accidentally had my Japanese baseball shirt in the rotation for today's podcast. And Major League Baseball, that means it's about a week away from getting going when the World Baseball Classic is over. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs coming. So, and draft props as well. You can bet on the NFL, even though it's not NFL season. FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlays. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Brandon Ayuk took to Twitter today. This was unprovoked as far as I know. I think he's just amped getting through his off-season workouts here, Croc. What did Brandon Ayuk have to say on social media, and what is he trying to say? Is he trying to tell us something about his current or his future as a 49er?
I kind of think so. All right, so here's the exact quote, tweet that he put out from BA on Twitter, the two era. And I wonder if he'll get that number two now that the 49ers likely do not retain Jason Verrett. But 1K, as in 1,000, as the fourth option in a run-first offense. I'm as real as it gets. Word to Lil Baby and ESTG. I'm ready to stand on business every time. Year four, taking off. He got rocket ships going out. And essentially what he's saying is, dude, like, I went for 1,000 on a run-first offense, and I'm the fourth option. You got to go through George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, and then you finally get to me, and I still went for 1,000. So what I hear, and this is not to stir anything up, so I do, I get more opportunities, which I've been saying. I think I put this out maybe a month ago, shortly after the season, where it's like, if you give him like legit targets, like target one/two type targets over an entire year in a more pass happy offense, bro, he's a 1,300 yard receiver easily. And I think he feels the same way about himself. Like, dude, I got so much untapped production, and y'all don't even know it, you know? But I know what I'm capable of doing. And right now, 49ers, we know what their offense is. They're going to ground and pound. We don't even know. I had a guy, one of my buddies, my guy Shaq O hit me and said, man, who would you rather have, Deebo Samuel or Brandon Cooks? And I'm like, man, you know, Deebo Samuel, like, what kind of question is that? And I love Cooks. Shout out to the 209 brother, right? Yeah. But he was like, a lot of his buddies are like, oh, Brandon Cooks. And he's like, man, I'm looking at Deebo stats. I'm like, don't look at stats.
Yeah.
Don't look at 49er player stats, because they mean absolutely nothing. Kyle Shanahan does what he wants. There's times where guys get two targets. There's guys times when they'll get eight targets. All right. Some of these other guys, like, let's say like a CeeDee Lamb, and these guys are consistently going to get 8 to 10 targets. That is not the case in the 49ers offense. And it's not the case for Brandon Ayuk, who ends up being the fourth option and all of that. So, you know, is George Kittle any better or worse because there's games where he gets two targets, one target? No, he's still one of the best tight ends in the league. And I think Brandon Ayuk, there's a lot of untapped production in him. It's just the way Kyle Shanahan rolls.
Well, I think the best thing that happened to Brandon Ayuk was Purdy becoming the quarterback, because I think that really opened Ayuk up. I really feel same with George Kittle. Like, both of them have really benefited from Purdy being under center, because he's not afraid to sling it downfield. You know, he's that guy that's like, oh, no, you know, my first two options. You said he's the fourth option, you know, in the offense. Yeah, nobody's, oh, Ayuk's, there we go. He's running the post. He's running the corner. I got him.
I think big credit to Brandon Ayuk for getting out of the doghouse. So I don't know if the doghouse was good for him, if that helped him, but the fact that he got out of it and now he's, you know, in the trust group again for Kyle Shanahan is pretty important. And I think no matter who the quarterback, because remember, this was supposed to be Brandon Ayuk's breakout because he had done so much work with Trey Lance, and Lance has a bigger arm and is a little bit more aggressive getting the ball down the field, where Ayuk is better at operating than some receivers in the 49ers offense. So we thought that was going to be the thing. And then it ended up not quite happening that way because Trey Lance got hurt, but then he still had some nice numbers with Jimmy, and even better numbers, as kind of everybody did with Brock Purdy. So whether it's Purdy, whether it's Lance, and maybe even if it's Sam Darnold, I think it does bode well for just the pure numbers that Brandon Ayuk puts up. But Croc's onto something when he talks about Kyle Shanahan, and it's all about the game plan, and, you know, different guys are going to get the different targets in different games. I think the best example is, you remember the Richie James game when everybody was hurt? It was like, all right, Richie, guess what? You get number one targets. He goes for 850 yards and two touchdowns, right?
And this, I think you shorted him. I think it was like 9 for like 175.
This podcast is big on Richie James. We're big Richie James fans, like what I saw him do with the New York Giants last year. But, you know, when you get the targets in an offense, that is very helpful, right? And so Brandon Ayuk has never really been that number one guy, and he's not even been the number two guy, really, because the 49ers have too many options. And once Christian McCaffrey came, he was a target hog in the 49ers offense, both running and receiving. Wink, do you think Brandon Ayuk deserves a bigger target share? Should he not be the fourth option? Should he be the third, second, first option in the 49ers offense?
I think he's a fantastic fourth option. You know, he could be the third option.
I think he's a great fourth. It's kind of where he needs to be in this offense. Yeah. But there is some.
You got to get the ball to your playmakers, right? And Christian McCaffrey's probably the number one in that. And then Debo, right? Those two guys, like, they're obviously one and one A. And then, you know, Kittle, maybe Kittle and Ayuk, you could kind of shuffle those guys around. But they're both, I think, right where they need to be.
Hey, you mentioned Richie James, right? And we talk about opportunity a lot. And I've harped on it on social media about my guy, Isaiah Hodgins. He ended up going to the Giants. For the first couple years of his career, he was on practice squad with the Buffalo Bills and just didn't really get an opportunity. Matter of fact, his first game he finally played last year, I want to say it was around week 6 because they had a bunch of injuries. He had 4 catches. That was the first time him getting receptions in a game. Fast forward a couple weeks later, he was let go, signed with the Giants, and he had a bunch of catches. Touchdowns, had over 100 yards in the playoff game, playoff win. Look at Richie James, and I'm looking at his stats right now. Dude had, in his rookie season with the 49ers, 9 receptions on 14 targets. Second year, 6 receptions on 10 targets. And then the one big year, which was 2020, 23 receptions on 35 targets, which most of those came in one game against the Green Bay Packers, right? Yep. And then he goes to the New York Giants and is like, hey, we'll actually utilize you. And he caught 57 out of 70 targets. I think that's pretty good as a catch percentage for almost 600 yards and 4 touchdowns. There's more touchdowns than he had in his entire career with the 49ers. So a lot of this stuff is about opportunity. And Richie James is not Brandon Ayuk. No. So just imagine if you just went to a place where it's like, hey, B.A., guess what? We're going to use you. All right, you don't got to worry about Kyle. And Kyle's an awesome coach. I'm pretty sure it helps a lot. But I always remember when he said, if I would have had healthy receivers, I would not have played Ayuk as a rookie. And I always think that's just like the wildest thing for a receiver that was really productive, looked good. And we're thinking, hey, wide receiver one. He's like, I don't even like him. Like, he's like, what? So he goes somewhere else, which we hope he doesn't. Hopefully, 49ers just utilize him more. But there's a lot more. There's a lot more to his game.
So a lot of people, when I saw that tweet from Brandon Ayuk, I thought he was talking about just ready to ball out this year. And maybe people don't really understand how good he is. But a lot of people took it as he's gone and he sees a payday with another team that will target him more. Did you guys read it that way?
I mean, it's going to be there, though, right? Somebody's going to offer him a bunch of money if he has another season like he just did.
If he hits actual free agency and doesn't re-sign with the 49ers beforehand, and at this point, why would he? Especially when you see like wide receiver hitting a free agent market, you could absolutely cash in. Someone's going to give him wide receiver one money.
Yeah. I hate to say it.
I didn't read it as, hey, I'm out of here. I just read it as, if I had more opportunities, I'd be even more productive. Like, I was productive. I was a 1,000-yard receiver with limited action. Like, you know, I'm ready for more. That was all for the 49ers, not for another team.
Yeah. The reality is that he'll be gone, right? I mean, they're not going to be able to afford him, unfortunately.
Well, we've talked about how kind of the timing of it with Debo Samuel and when his contract, because you got the 5th-year option, right? So you got this year, which will be Debo's 2nd year. And then you got the third year, which would be his the next year, that would be his 5th-year option year, right?
The 5th year, yep.
Debo's when we talked about this the last time, I thought Debo's first year of his extension kicked in last year.
Oh, it's this year, huh?
But it was still this year that it's kicking in. But it still doesn't matter because they can still, if you're just looking at the two wide receivers and forgetting, because they just paid Javon Hargrave too, so he's got a big salary, you know, 4-year contract.
Yeah. And you gotta still pay Bosa.
That could be a 2-year deal too. So that could be off the books by the time Ayuk's big money comes in if he does sign a new deal. But then there's quarterback money that could potentially have to be paid to somebody, you know, a couple of years from now as well. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. Bosa is going to be getting a lot of money at that point. But here's the thing with Ayuk. He's younger, and George Kittle's hitting his age 30 season this year. Do they need Brandon Ayuk post Kittle and Debo? Like, because there's an opportunity. Those guys are gone in 3 years. And then you definitely need an Ayuk still to be there. Right. And maybe he's your number one at that point. And McCaffrey, you know, he's a running back. You never know. Every game could be his last. You know what I mean? And knock on wood.
Right. There's going to have to be a reload coming up.
Yeah. So. Right. And Ayuk might need to be a part of that if they can structure the timing out right. And if he doesn't next year. So a lot of people talk about, oh, man, maybe they trade Brandon Ayuk this offseason. Doesn't need to happen at all. He's hitting year 4 of his rookie contract. Then he's got his 5th-year option the year after that. They're going to pick up his 5th-year option. So this year doesn't matter at all. Next offseason is where it might get dicey because, like we saw with Debo going into last year of his deal, he might say, I ain't showing up, dude. Like, right. Fifth year option, cool. I'm not showing up. Trade me to a team that's going to pay me all this bunch of money right now. And, you know, the 49ers might be trying
and to throw me the ball.
Right, and throwing the ball more. Yeah, so that next offseason gets interesting with Ayuk, and they got to figure out Ayuk and Debo. But just as far as Ayuk and Debo, as far as just paying the wide receivers, you take the rest of the players and stuff out of it. And, you know, at some point, Trent Williams is going to be coming off the books. Someone on in our comments was like, quit trying to push Trent Williams out the door. We're definitely not trying to push Trent Williams out the
no
door.
No way.
He said he considered retirement. So he's got to think about it, team building. You got to be a year, 2 years ahead. You know, you're thinking of 3 years windows at least. If you're an NFL GM, you're not just like, oh, okay, this is this team. And then next offseason, you're like, oh, what? I can't believe it. I don't have any players. You can't do that. That's just not how it realistically operates.
I'm looking at some of the like other receivers that – Brandon Ayuk probably, you know, kind of compares himself to. Mm-hmm. And you look at the targets, man, he had 114, which, I mean, that's not like terrible. That's a decent pretty amount. But you look at CeeDee Lamb, and there's 156 targets there. Now, again, CeeDee is the main guy in Dallas, but they just throw the ball a lot. And he's one of the beneficiaries of that. And if I'm Brandon Ayuk, now, again, 49ers fans, even 49ers, they might look at it different. Like, whatever, we're not giving you those targets because of everybody else we have. But Ayuk has to look at it like, man, if I have more targets, how much more productive would I be? And how much more money is that for my family, right? For me to take care of my family. So that's just something, the business element of these things, guys have to think about that. And I'm pretty sure Ayuk has thought a lot about that as well. Again, I don't think that tweet is about, well, if I was on another team, I'd get way more action. But I think he does know. If it was a different style of offense that catered to him a little more, he would be in the same tier as, you know, people asking who's the best wide receiver two in the NFL. It's like, oh, T. Higgins. Oh, Devontae Smith. Oh, and Brandon Ayuk's probably like, man, what about me?
What about me? Yeah.
Don't knock me because this offense.
Brandon Ayuk saying, not only am I the best wide receiver two, I'm one of the best wide receiver ones if I was a wide receiver one somewhere.
And I would disagree with that. But yeah, I mean, he probably
we don't know.
He needs. There's certain things where I just can't count on him to do, like the contested catches. And when I say contested, I mean like legit. Hey, he's down there somewhere. I'm just going to throw the ball up to him. He's going to come down with it. And I feel like so far that hasn't really been a niche in his game.
I thought there was going to be a little more run after catch with Ayuk. I thought Ayuk was like Debo part two practically coming out of Arizona State because, you know, how springy he was athletically. He's like, oh, this guy, he's going to be a huge after the catch guy.
He's a big return guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's just not great like I thought he might be.
Yeah.
But not that any of this is like a huge knocks on him or anything. He's a really good wide receiver. But he can still even get better than he's shown, and maybe more targets would help him.
A legit wide receiver, like he's one of the best wide receiver twos in the NFL. Yeah. If you're a legit wide receiver two in the NFL on a more pass happy offense, I mean, there is. I mean, look at Devontae Smith, and I don't even know how much they throw the ball, but they had AJ Brown and whatever the hell he did, and then you have Devontae Smith, who is a 1,200 yard receiver,
and they're run heavy offense too.
Right. That's yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and they got another tight end too, Dallas Goedert. There's people saying that Goddard's better than Kittle. I'm not saying that. 49 fans, nope. Y'all not saying that. Nah. But there are people that are really high on Goddard. Really
by people, high. You mean delusional Eagles fan?
It could be.
Yeah. And there was some garbage-ass Eagles fans. I got to say that. Like, there was some ugliness out there.
Every team has them. Except well,
every team definitely has it. But I was surprised how much more there were from the Eagles because they haven't dealt with a lot of Eagles games, a lot of Eagles fans. And there was
You were surprised that Philadelphia had some negative fans?
The fans that booed Santa Claus, right?
Right. They would listen though. They do all that. I was there in person, and maybe the pushback is it wasn't a playoff game. I don't know, but they told me what they were going to do to me. They were going to throw batteries at me. They were going to do all these things. So you know, I'm from Stockton. You're going to have to show me. So I'm standing up in my section, and I'm asking everybody in the section, "Why are y'all so quiet? They said y'all are this. They said y'all are that. All I see is y'all losing. Like, what's going on?
The instigator.
I stood up. I'm waving the flag. Focus Jimmy there. Garoppolo got a quarterback sneak touchdown. Let's go. I'm high-fiving all the 49er fans. And nobody laid a finger on me. And I'm not saying I'm looking for trouble. Guys, Eagle fans, nobody side-bust me or anything. It was in the moment. But the fans talked a lot about just the environment, what it is. And maybe they do that to other people. They did not do that to me and my homies. So I don't know. My guy Mike Andrews from Nothing But Niners, shout out to him. He was there. He can attest to this. My brother Donald, I think they might pick and choose who they do certain things to. I don't know.
Well, and a lot of it's online where, you know, a lot of people can be a yes. lot more tough and a lot more vitriol than other places. I do have some audio, I think, from you, Crocker, at that game, cheering on your quarterback.
Nick Mullins!
Can you verify that was you? Nick Mullins game you were at?
I don't think Nick Mullins was playing in that game. It was Jimmy G, but that sounds about right.
All right, we got to move on here. I do have one more note on Ayuk. I do want to talk about the timing of Ayuk's extension, how it could work with Deebo both being together throughout their contracts, and where the 49ers offense could go next. Today's episode brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. You've heard us talk about this mobile game app, and if you've ever wanted to be an NFL GM, you think you'd make a good GM with your draft picks, with your free agent signings, with your naming rights for a stadium, you got to give this game a try. It's not as easy as you might think. Either to create that dynasty, create up to 25 years of a dynasty, play against other people and match your dynasties against theirs. When you play Ultimate Football GM, you get control of every strategic aspect of your football team, play through as many seasons as you can, and bring your team to glory and create that historic dynasty. With Ultimate Football GM, you're responsible for hiring and firing coaches and coordinators, managing all the finances, including negotiating player salaries and terms, navigating your franchise through free agency, the draft, injuries, player personnel issues, all the ups and downs of a season, all this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Football GM, completely free and playable offline, play on the go, anywhere as you want to. And Locked On 49ers listeners get a free 100% free boost to their franchising game when using promo code Locked On. To download the game, visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the app stores. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. So year one of Deebo Samuel's three-year extension starts this year. And this is year four for Brandon Ayuk. So then next year, 2024, will be the fifth year option year for Brandon Ayuk and the second year of Deebo Samuel's contract. Then in 2025, it'll be the final year of Deebo's three-year extension. And that would be the first year of the new extension for Deebo or for Brandon Ayuk if they were to re-sign him. And they could definitely structure a deal that's backloaded where the first year money is low, which would be the last year of the three-year extension to Deebo Samuel. And then the following year, Deebo Samuel would then leave via free agency, and then the big money would kick in for Brandon Ayuk. So just as far as wide receiver payments go, they can schedule it to where, you know, that fifth-year option year next year would be kind of big. So that's why next offseason, I think, is really big for Brandon Ayuk. If there was to be a trade or some kind of a shakeup, and they'll have to negotiate a new contract at some point then. But they can make the money work and bring them some things up and down. They could restructure the last year of Deebo's and contract and add a void year or something like that to keep his number low enough through his contract with Ayuk before Ayuk's numbers go up big on his extension. So with just as far as wide receiver room goes, and just adding some young players and developing behind them, they can make that part of it work. Now there's Bosa and there's other players on the roster and there's new free agents every year. So they've got to figure a lot else out, but just the wide receiver is one guy getting paid a lot. They can kind of structure that in a way that still one guy's getting paid a lot every year, but it would have to go. Then you would be losing Deebo after this extension. You're not going to pay him both. You're not going to extend Deebo again.
No, you can't.
Brandon Ayuk. Right.
Yeah. Hopefully, I bet they're hoping Danny Gray figures it out by then.
Right, Danny Gray, or you know, maybe Juwan Jennings takes it to the next level. Here's actually a great segue into what the 49ers offense could be, because I've got a question here from a listener via email, lockedon49ers@gmail.com, by the way. I usually don't read the email on the podcast. I haven't really taken many emails recently, but I got one today from Andrew, and he said, "Hey, P-Croc." Didn't throw a wink in there, but we're going to read it anyway. He said, "Do you think we might finally see the big leap in the offensive dominance this season? I ask because regardless of who you want at quarterback, it actually looks like Kyle will finally have stability on the offensive side during the preseason. 10 returning starters, no contract dramas, Lance to take 90% of starting reps, no lingering injuries, plus a full offseason to mad scientist, the Deebo, Christian McCaffrey, Lance workshop. Feel like it could be an under-the-radar storyline." That from Andrew. Do you think the offense can take the next big step this year? And do you think maybe utilizing Brandon Ayuk more, like those those deep passing yards is probably the unlockable thing in this offense, right, to take it to the next level. Because they've had seasons where they ran the ball great. They've had seasons where they've had OWs catching and running, being the best team, Yak Bros, after the catch. It's the big chunk plays down the field that I think has been the missing element of, like, good offense to, like, oh, crap, the league is scared of this offense.
Now, you know what I really think it is? And it's not even just the explosive passing plays. I think what really unlocked it was Christian McCaffrey. Like, yeah. Once he was inserted into the offense and you're able to just check it down to him, just knowing, just having that blind faith that he's in a certain spot and he's just going to make the catch, I think that really helped the quarterbacks a lot. Like, you didn't have to force anything too much. It's just – if anything, you're just forcing the ball to McCaffrey. And he's good for 5 yards, 6 yards on a reception. Then he's breaking tackles, and he's really crafty after the catch, and he was doing those things. I think that helped the offense so much. So explosive plays is great, but McCaffrey, I think, for Kyle, that's what really helped the efficiency of this offense a lot.
Yeah, and I think that this team could easily be the number one offense in the NFL. It just all comes down to health, right? It just comes down to, can McCaffrey stay healthy? He's never been able to really do it, right? He's had one, I think, full season, maybe one, or maybe two. But that to me is very key. Elijah Mitchell can't stay healthy, right? Debo, you know, in and out of the lineup from here and there. Even Kittle, you know, for you know, over the past 3 or 4 years has missed some time. But if this team, and obviously we're not even mentioning the quarterbacks, which was such a huge issue last year. Yeah. So if they can stay healthy, I don't see why not. They've got so many weapons on so many levels. But to me, a big question right now still, which I don't think has been answered, is that right tackle position. Is that going to be good enough for the 49ers to be able to have time to throw the ball down the field? Yeah, it might just be a whole lot of checkdowns to Christian McCaffrey. But then is that going to be too much? And is he going to be able to, you know, do that throughout a whole season and stay healthy?
Yeah, you know, it all starts up front, running the football and, you know, protecting the quarterback, whoever that quarterback is. But and that's the biggest thing for the 49ers in this offense is getting that consistent quarterback play all year long, because clearly they have the weapons. And to your point, Kroc, McCaffrey, it's like he was both a warm blanket for the quarterbacks to know that they could go there. And for whatever reason, the 49ers didn't like really checking it down much to their running backs before McCaffrey showed up, which was kind of weird. And remember the week before they traded for McCaffrey, we're like, why don't they throw their running backs more?
What's
really
up?
Really help. Instead of Jimmy forcing these interceptions,
check
it down to your running back. McCaffrey comes, all of a sudden they're checking it to the running back. It's like, well, you don't have to have the best receiving running back in the league to check it down to a running back. But they have. So that's important to have for your quarterback, just to feel comfortable, you know, and have that check down option. But not only that, was the gravity of McCaffrey with how much focus teams put on. And that was something I didn't quite expect with McCaffrey, and I expect him to be really good, but teams actually even were, it seemed like the way teams played against the 49ers, once McCaffrey showed up, they're actually more worried about McCaffrey than they were about Debo, than they were about Kittle, than they were about Ayuk, probably just knowing Kyle Shanahan's tendencies and how he runs an offense through the running game. Maybe that's why, but teams really keyed on McCaffrey, and it did open some things up for some other players too. So that, you know, stay healthy, Christian McCaffrey is one of the big keys for this season. He played 20 games last year, and running back playing 20 games.
You're not wrong.
Attrition. Yeah, I mean, he was kind of breaking down a little bit towards the end. He had the calf, I think it was, injury that was kind of hampering him a little bit. He had to kind of take it easy, I believe, during practice, and then they kind of put him on. It looked like some sort of a kind of a snap count. There was one game towards the end where I think he was kind of struggling to finish the game with that calf injury, and I think the 49ers kind of pulled away from whatever team it was, so he could kind of sit a little bit more. But there definitely was that going on as well. Maybe they can find a little bit more of a like how they want snap count between the two running backs. You have a fully healthy Elijah Mitchell, if that's possible.
It'd be great. Yeah.
Wow. But between the two, if you could find a little bit more of a 50% load for each guy, or even 40% for each guy, 20% for a guy like Jordan Mason, kind of sprinkle him a little more. Because I thought there were a lot of opportunities for it. There were some games where 49ers are really ahead of a team, and it's like, yeah, we're still going to hand the ball off to McCaffrey. It's like, what are you guys doing?
Check it out. In between the tackles, too. Like, come on.
They did that with, you thought they would have learned, they did that with Elijah Mitchell the year before, where you're up 31-10 or whatever it was on the Rams, and it's like, yeah, he has broken ribs, a broken finger, and a knee injury, but we're just going to give him 30 carries. Like, what?
Yeah, and I like the idea, and it kind of showed like they were going to maybe try to do And maybe year two will be easier for him to do that with the running back and maybe they'll trust him more, but sort of using him as a closer. And if you've got a lead, put the thumper in there, 220-pound, no-nonsense running back. Or maybe Ty Davis Price could be part of that role as well with Jordan Mason. And just, like, you know, lean on him at the end of games and keep your guys fresh. Because if you want Christian McCaffrey, if you want Elijah Mitchell to play another 20 games, 21 games, get to the Super Bowl, right, it's what it takes. That's hard to keep a running back healthy multiple seasons in a row for that many, especially if he's going to get 20 touches a game.
They probably didn't trust Jordan Mason because he only wears one glove. I mean, that's just nasty swag.
Was he golfing?
Yeah, he's not a golfer. He's not Michael Jackson. Those are the only two reasons you should wear only one glove, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's like one glove and then tape on the other fingers. And I was just like, that's nasty. Like, just wear the no gloves and tape on both hands. Why he wasn't drafted. Or wear two gloves. And they're probably scared he's going to fumble. Like, I don't trust that hand. Take my strong hand.
Dude, with how sticky those gloves are, I'd wear gloves on both hands if I was a running back. That would help you not fumble. You see Odell snatching those one-handers out of the air? Man, that's cheating with those gloves that those guys have.
Yeah. Like shaking it off afterwards?
Remember the commercial with Chris Cooley? And he can't get rid of the ball. He like punches through a wall and catches the ball. And then he like, can't like... So dumb. Anyway, all right. Niners offense about to take off. San Francisco 49ers defensive line maybe as good as it's been with the addition of Javon Hargrave to go with, at some point this offseason, a newly re-upped, I think, Nick Bosa. Hopefully that does happen and he doesn't go into, to be honest with you, if he wants to play it out and get a franchise tag slapped on him, that's cheaper for the 49ers probably in a lot of ways. Interesting offseason to go. Of course, a lot more draft prospects. We'll be talking edge rushers. We'll be talking tight ends. We'll be talking offensive tackles. We'll be talking about a whole bunch of positions throughout the offseason here. I already got some more nominations of players to watch. We've got some mock drafts with some 49ers projections. We can talk about those scouting reports as well. So let us know at BD Peacock, at Eric_Crocker. You can find Wink at Bay Area Wink. Appreciate you joining the show as always, Nick.
Yeah, pleasure, guys.
Thanks, everybody, for making us your first listen. Check out Locked On NFL Draft. Check out Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes, the newest pod here on the network. Croc and I back tomorrow. Locked On 49ers.
See you.